We were on that theme as far as our VBS, but we're going to be looking at it more on a personal standpoint about you and your life and the things that you're going through. But I wanted to begin with a passage that coincides really, really well with Acts 27. We're going to be looking at Acts 27 today, so get your finger there. But Psalm 91, anybody familiar with that psalm? Man, if you're not, commit this one to memory. This is a great, great text, a great, great passage that you can hold on to. And I want to read it for you today. And so whether you want to follow along on the screens or just simply close your eyes, because there's a lot of prayer elements to this. I've learned something about Scripture, that there's a good part of Scripture that you can pray through, that you can use it as a prayer tool, and you can say as you're reading it, God, yes, that is the prayer of my heart. That is the desire of my heart. And so as I'm reading this, you can either read along with me or you can just simply close your eyes and soak it in, because this is a powerful passage of Scripture that goes really well with where we're at. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord, He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. God even has feathers, apparently. Woo! When I was reading that earlier this week, I'm like, that is amazing. That is another cool aspect that I can't wait to tell the kids about, another superpower that God has, that He has the coolest feathers. All right, sorry, I'm a little ADHD, so I get distracted, and when I get distracted, you have to join me on the distraction because I have the mic. And we're back. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Don't be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, that's a bad day, just in case you hadn't figured that out, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes. Just see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. That kind of covers everything. Wow. Are you receiving this today? This is powerful. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions, serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. What a passage of Scripture. What a promise. As we look at Acts 27 today, you have to understand that their perspective of Scripture was based on the Old Testament. Paul, as a man of God that knew the Scriptures well, he knew this passage. He knew this text. But obviously, some twists and some turns had happened in his life. He didn't plan to be imprisoned for his faith, did he? He didn't plan to be on a ship headed for Rome to be executed, but he was. He could have said, all hope is lost. God, you've forsaken me, which many of us have probably felt and said even those same things when we go through a hard time and a struggle. But his perspective was wrapped up in the message of that text, and that is what held him close to God. That's what carried him through. My question for you is this: how different are our priorities during crisis management? You know, you think about your life, you think about when you're going through a crisis, when you're going through a difficulty, when you're going through hardships. Anybody ever face that? I think that is the norm. I think if you're not facing that, the rest of us probably resent you just a little bit, because our lives are like, wait a minute, why do they have it so good? And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Don't believe what everybody posts on social media. That is their best them. They've rehearsed that selfie 15 times and, oh, finally got it right. They've gotten their family all clean and dressed. They've wiped their faces off. You don't see the disaster of life. Everybody's a disaster when it comes down to it. There's at some point or another, everybody's a mess. Everybody's got problems. Everybody goes through hardships. Everybody faces crisis management. And when you're in crisis management, obviously it's a whole different set of priorities. You're just trying to get by. You ever been there? You ever been there? And the MO of the day is just to simply wake up and say, I just got to get through today. You know, there's days when you wake up on purpose and you start each day and you're like, yeah, here we go. I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to eat 15 things that are healthy today. I'm going to talk to the people that I don't like. I'm going to bless those who curse me. I'm going to witness to everybody. I'm going to give to the homeless guy on the street. I'm going to do all of that stuff. And then there's other days that you're like, coffee, I need you. I can't live. There's other days when you're just getting through life. There's days when you feel like your life is wrecked. We've all been there. We've all faced those situations. It's different. It's different for every person, and the degree of that is different. I think that's another lie that we buy into in our culture, that we see someone else's problem and we think it's worse or better than ours. It's individual to us. It's an individual walk that we're walking, that we're trying to figure it all out as we go along. And one thing that I've learned is try not to compare to other people when you're going through those things. When you're looking at your life, talk to God about it. Say, what is it that I need to get from this? You know, I like this little clip that I saw. I was looking up some things on crisis management, and a little cartoon that had, you know, this crisis management center, and the guy's philosophy was, okay, everyone dies. That's the emergency plan. That's not a good emergency plan. How many of you know that if that's the contingency plan, okay, everybody just is cataclysmically dead, the zombies show up, we're all consumed, you know, and it's just a bad deal, the aliens abduct us? No. But sometimes when you are in crisis management mode, you actually get to the point you're just like, man, I'm ready to give up. I am ready to call it in. I just can't handle it. Paul had faced a lot of these things. The series that I'm currently in with the kids is how to learn to do things. And we're learning lessons from the life of the Apostle Paul, who had a lot to teach. He had a lot of life experience. He had a lot of similarities in us that we can look in his life and say, you know what? Been there, done that. I can relate with that. And so as Paul was looking at things with perspective, the thing that you have to wrap your mind around about him is Paul was somebody that walked with God. Paul was somebody that had time with God. Paul was somebody that had spent time in God's word. Paul was somebody that spent time on his knees. When you're looking at your own life, look at those two things first. Before you start looking at any other things, how much time am I in God's word? How much time am I on my knees? Now, Paul's a perfect example of just because you are doesn't mean your life isn't going to get shipwrecked. But it does need to be something that wakes you up and says, wait a minute, let me get back to that point. Let me get back to that place where God is the first thing I think about. God is the last thing I think about. God is the thing that I think about as I'm processing life and trying to figure out how to deal with the storms that life has brought me along. Paul could go back to lots of different points in his life. One of them is in Acts 23. Again, our text that we'll be in is Acts 27. But this is an important passage to look at because this was a reminder that Paul could have as he was facing trials, as he was going through difficult times. It says, that night the Lord appeared to Paul and said, be encouraged, Paul, just as you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome as well. Paul had his marching orders. He had perspective bigger than just the problems of life, which are real. Don't ever let me try to diminish what you're facing and what you're going through and say that it's not important and it's not a big deal, because it is a big deal. It's what you're living through. It's what you're dealing with. But Paul was able to wrap his mind around a perspective bigger than just the here and now. I think that's important for us as Christians, because too many times we can be so focused on this life, on this earth, on this world, on our homes, on our schools, on our jobs, on our families, on all of that, which is wonderful, but it's not eternal. Are you with me? You realize this is just a temporary place where we're living. We're not going to be on earth forever. Heaven is our destination. Are you guys looking forward to that? Or am I the only one? I mean, I like it when heaven is right here on earth, but that's not Scripture. Scripture says that we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulations, we're going to have difficulties, we're going to have hardships, and Paul was grounded in that. He realized God had commissioned him, he had called him, he had a purpose for him. I got news for you. He's done the same for you. He has placed you right where you're at on purpose. You are around people that I'm never going to see in my life. You are related to people that none of the rest of us know and are related to. You work with people that we're not connected to. God has you there on purpose. You are there. You have a calling on your life. You have a mission on your life, and that needs to propel you, to keep you, to drive you through whatever it is you're facing. I like what Albert Einstein had to say about crisis and about management. This is a good quote from him. It says, the significant problems that we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. Ooh, ouch. That also dabbles in another little thought process that we do create our own messes. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's just the natural cause and effect of life. You guys are aware that we live in a fallen world, right? That we live in brokenness, that we live where bad people make bad choices and sometimes good people pay the prices for them. Sometimes problems aren't caused by us, but sometimes they are. And that's another aspect of our lives in problems and in crisis management and in storms of life is we have to seek God to say, God, what are you saying to me through this? What do I need to learn through this? What is it that I need to catch? How many of you at one point or another, you have had to learn something twice? I hate that. I'm like, I got the lesson. No, apparently you didn't. Have you ever got a bad grade in school? Anybody ever have to take a college class twice? That's a double sting because you got to pay for it again. College professors don't care whether you pass. That's just another paycheck for them. They're like, come on back and take it again. You know, life stinks sometimes when you have to learn things the hard way, but sometimes that is how we have to do it. Sometimes we have to learn it. Paul had that perspective of living through storms in life, and now we're going to see one of the greatest trials that he's going to face here in Acts 27 of being shipwrecked. You may feel like today that you are in a storm. You may feel like today that you are in the place where your life is shipwrecked. If that is you, you're here on purpose today. God's got something for you today from his word, from his presence, from the time that we're going to spend at the close of this in prayer. God wanted you here on purpose, and he wants to minister to you today. Can I just pray before we dive into this text? God, I just pray right now that you do what only you can do. I don't have any desire to minister with fancy words or anything that is within me, God. I want your spirit to speak through your word, through me. And so that as we're here today, we're getting what you want from us today, God. You want our hearts. You want our passion. You want us to lay everything out there to you. And God, we want to receive what you have for us today. So I pray, Lord, that as I share, it'll be your words, not mine. And I pray, Lord, that people's hearts will be ministered to, that we will be changed as we walk out of this place. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this idea of shipwrecked and this passage, I'm not going to read the entire passage of Acts 27, but I'm going to highlight several verses as we kind of clip through it. But I always look for words that stand out as I'm reading and studying text. And the first one is I believe. As Paul is in this scenario, again, if you're not familiar with Acts 27, he's on his way to Rome for his faith. He's been charged as being a problem, basically, for the Roman government. The Jews were after him from the word go because he was a threat to their agenda. And so they were constantly at every turn trying to do everything they could to throw snares his way, to mess him up, to get him imprisoned, to get him executed, to get him crucified, whatever they wanted. They want to get rid of this guy. But this guy had something to say. And the thing that we need to recognize is with Paul, in the storm that he was in, he was a significant character. Obviously, the people that were around him didn't plan to be there with Paul, but they were with Paul. But I want to look closely at some of their reactions to this man of God that was with him. Acts 27, verse 3 says, "The next day when we docked at Sidon, Julius was a very kind man. He was one of the Roman centurions to Paul, and he let him go ashore and visit his friends so that they could provide for his needs." So these prisoners and these Romans are all along for the ride with Paul, but here we see Paul has favor. Did you know that when you walk with God, when you talk with God, when you spend time with God, you will have favor with people that don't know you and that don't for any reason know why they want to be good to you? But that's just an added benefit of walking with God, of talking with God, of spending time with God, is that favor that comes with that. Putting out to sea there, we encountered strong headwinds, made it difficult to keep the ship on course, so we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland. So we see here that the journey starts, and it's not starting well. It's not starting off good. They're heading out to sea. They're trying to get this prison boat to Rome. Paul's on it. A whole bunch of other folks are on it, and it's not going well. Acts 24 is another passage that shows another area where Paul had favor. And it says he ordered an officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to visit him and take care of his needs. Here we see that Paul had favor in lots of different areas where others didn't. He had favor on his life because of the fact that he spent time with God. He was a man of God. Verse 10 of Acts 27 says, "Men, I believe." That's a powerful statement. Now, husbands, have you ever said, "Honey, I believe that we need to do this"? And she's looked at you like you had a hole in your head. Yes. And of course, husbands, if your wife asks you that, the answer is yes, I agree, honey. That is a great answer. I believe you're right. Any good husband knows that's the right answer. But here we see Paul make this bold statement of saying, guys, trouble's ahead. How did he know? Scripture doesn't tell us. Other than the fact that he had a hunch, that he had an inkling. He was used to having hunches and inklings that came from the Holy Spirit. So obviously we see that he had that. He didn't drop the God card though. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've been in situations where people have come up to me and said, "John, I believe that God has told me that I am supposed to be blah, 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 blah. And you are supposed to be blah, 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 blah. And this is what you're going to do and I'm going to do." And I'm looking at it and I'm going, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's strange because God didn't tell me that. You know, we've all encountered the scenario or the situation where someone has done something under the guise and under the banner of God is wanting this done. And we thought to ourselves, not sure. I preached about that a couple times ago. Pray for God to show you discernment when someone says that, first and foremost. But here we see Paul says it. I believe there's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge and the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than Paul. So here we see that this group rejected Paul's wise advice. You ever rejected wise advice? You ever said shoulda, coulda, woulda? You ever said, oh, ouch? You ever had somebody say, told you so? Do you like it when they say that? Okay, if you do, teach the rest of us how to handle that. Because nobody likes it when somebody says, told you so. You're like, just turn around so I can punch you. We don't like it when people say that. But here we say Paul throwing it out there, guys, I believe there's trouble ahead. Acts 18 is another verse that shows Paul's resolve and commitment to God. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, told him, don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I am with you. No one will attack and harm you, for many people in this city belong to me. Paul had such a unique relationship with God that he had confidence to know when God was speaking to him, when God was leading him to do something. Can you say that about yourself? Can I say that about myself? That's convicting to me that I need more time in God's word, that I need more time in God's presence, because I want to be able to say that for myself. I want you to be able to say that for yourself. I'm confident that I'm hearing and sensing the leading and the voice of the Lord. Spend time in God's presence. Verse 12 of Acts 27, and since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest northern exposure. So the logic of normal sailing fare, I'm not a sailor. I'd love to be a sailor. I think it's cool. You know, I went and did some boating and stuff when we were on our trip, and I love the water and all that, but I'm not a sailor. If I was out there on the boat and they were like, hoist the anchor, I'd say, yeah. They'd say, man this and that and tie this and that. I'd say, I didn't take that Royal Ranger rope class, sorry. I'm not any help to you. You know, I like that idea, but here we see that they had logic. They knew, okay, wind is good, waves are good, weather's good, everything's looking good. That's a bad harbor, this is a good harbor. Logic told them this is the right choice. How many of you know logic isn't always God's plan? God kind of likes it when he can defy logic and he can say, yeah, that may look like the right choice, but following me is better. You ever been there? You ever been there in life where you are at a crossroads in life and you have a decision to make and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I feel like God is leading me to do this and it does not make any sense. I feel like God is leading me to do this and this is the obvious choice over here, yet I feel like God is saying go here. You better pray and you better talk to God and you better listen to him, because logic isn't always right. Principle that I want you to pull away from that first portion of that is to be careful what voices you listen to in a storm. When you go through storms in your life, you're going to have advice. You're going to have people that are going to pat you on the back and they're going to say, well, sister so-and-so, you know what? I've been there and this is what you need to do. You're going to have your friends that are going to pat you on the back and say, bro, check it out, dog. This is how it works. I've been there. I know how you feel, but this is all you got to do. You know, you're going to have lots of counselors. You're going to have lots of people showing up that are going to say, here's what you ought to do. Be careful who you listen to in a storm. Real careful. Second phrase I want you to pull out as we continue on in Acts 27 is should've, would've. Should've, would've. Should've, would've, could've. You got any of those in your life? The older you get, the more of them that you get. Am I right? Because I have a whole lot more than I did in my 20s, in my 30s, and even my early 40s. I've got a lot more of those. It seems like they keep racking up. Wow. Whew. Hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? You can look back and say, man, shoulda, coulda, woulda. But what do we do in the here and now? How do we navigate? How do we go through storms? How do we deal with it? You got to stay close to God. Look at Paul here in Acts 27:13. It says, when a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. Again, logic showed them and prevailed and said, ooh, looking good. So they pulled up the anchor, sailed close to the shore to Crete, but the weather changed abruptly. The wind of typhoon strength, called a northeaster, burst across the island and blew them out to sea. Wow. It can be that way for us. It can be where one minute everything is going great. You are on top of the world. Life is good. Everything is happy. Your wife is nice to you. Your kids obeyed you. Your dog didn't poop in the wrong place. Everything is good. Life is happening. Your job is clicking. All things are on firing on the right cylinder. You're like, man, life is good. And then kaplow. Okay, maybe I'm the only one that's had a kaplow in life. Kaplows are real. You don't see them coming. They're a curveball out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, wow, everything was great. And now what happened? It's a storm. It's a crisis. Sometimes those storms come in the form of children. Sometimes they come in the form of health and a job and finances and your emotions, in a relationship. There's, you name it, there's any number of storms that we can face in life, and usually we don't see them coming. The next day, we see the storm continues and gets worse. Verse 18, the gale force winds continued to batter the ship. They even took the gear and started to throw it overboard. It raged for many days, blotting out the sun until at last all hope was gone. I said earlier, maybe your life feels shipwrecked today. You may be here today, and you're right there. All hope is gone. You've tried and rehearsed in your mind every possible way to solve it. Do you know that's how your mind usually works? You know, when you're obsessing, when you're focused on something, your mind doesn't rest. You're rehearsing it over and over again. You're replaying it. Should it? What I did? What about this? I mean, you're constantly thinking about it. My wife started her new job this year in Kansas City, Missouri, teaching in a very urban school in the middle of the city, and it's very challenging, and like she's not sleeping well this week because like she's up late finishing up this and doing that and getting this ready and getting that ready, and her mind's just, so when she finally does crash, it's like boom, she's just wiped out. And that's how it is when we're going through a crisis, when we're going through a storm. We're just overwhelmed. We just got so many things, and we feel like it says it right there, all hope is gone. Paul then goes on to look at the idea of where they were at, and he says, no one has eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me. You should have taken my advice. Again, we always just get that little attitude when somebody says that. But guess what? He had their attention by this point. He had their attention. You should have listened to me in the first place. You should have not left Crete. We would have avoided all of this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. So now they're starting to listen. And look at Paul, what he says. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. You will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God, in his goodness, has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. Paul was the person that they wanted to have with them. Just like You need to have somebody around you that's godly. If you're not involved in some kind of a small group or a connect group here, a class, you need to be. You say, well, I get all that I need coming to church. You get closeness in relationship with people, and you can find some wonderful, wonderful people in this church that are men and women of God that have been there for you. They've been through situations that you have. Sometimes I think that we as the body of Christ are falling short in being able to really take the time to share the knowledge that we have. How many of you that are past the age of 30, 40, 50, in your mind sometimes think, man, I got a lot of things that I could share with someone younger than me. We all have probably thought those things in our mind. Man, you see people doing things and you're like, oh man, I wish I could give them some advice. Oh, I wish I could tell them. Look for that opportunity. Look for it in some type of a connect group. Look for that in some type of relationship. Let God place you in situations where you're going to find people to be around. These people were around Paul, not by their choice, but God had them there. And because of that, it ended well for them. Look at Acts 22, another time when Paul, again, had times with God. After I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple and fell into a trance. I saw a vision. And this vision of Jesus saying, hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't accept me. Paul had credibility. Paul had time with God. Paul had experience with God. You need to seek somebody out like that. And they're here. It isn't just the pastors and the staff that have that, guys. There's wonderful men and women of God in this church that when you start to hang around them, when you start to visit with them, you start to hear their story, you start to go out to lunch with them, you start to visit them in their house, you're going to find out, wow, God's placed us together on purpose. If you're not seeking that out, you need to be. No, I'm good. I don't have time for anyone else in my life. You need someone else in your life. You may not have any idea that that's the right person that God's placing in your life. Be open to that. Be open to that because God wants to use people just like he used Paul. And so here we see as this portion is concluding, Paul says, take courage, for I believe it. He says it again, now they're listening. I believe God, and it will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. At this point, Paul's saying, guys, there's some natural cause and effect. There's some natural consequences for what we're dealing with, but God is still going to be with us. A lot of times the lie of the enemy can come in this time when you feel like all hope is lost, and you'll start to believe those voices in your mind that say, you know what? You've messed it up so bad, it can never be fixed. You ever thought that? I've made so many mistakes, it can never be repaired. I've gone so far down a road that I can never get back. Don't believe that lie. Because God wants to restore that. God wants to redeem that. He wants to take you through that. And here we see a good principle that is important for us. Why it's so important that we have godly people around us is that correction in a storm should reflect the word. When you're in the storm of life and someone offers you correction, offers you advice, it needs to match up with the book. It needs to match up with God's heart, with God's word. And so it's important to surround yourself with people that are going to help point you back to God's word, point you back to experiences where they've had, where God has been faithful to them. God has carried them through no matter what. And so we need each other. You need those should-haves, would-haves sometimes. But make sure it's from the right source. Last phrase that I want you to pull out as we're finishing up this text is your own good. Any moms in the room that have at one point or another told your child to do something and they said, why? And you said, because I said so. Because that's usually the first thing that comes back out of your mouth because you're like, because I am your mother. I gave birth to you for 15 hours and blah, 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 blah. Because I said so. Do it. But really, the heart behind that is because you know it's for their own good. You know it's what's best for them. I always told my kids as they were growing up, it is okay for you to ask me why after you've done what I told you to do. Do it first and then you can say, okay, Dad, Pops, what's the deal here? Why did I have to do that? It's okay to ask why, but doggone it, you better have obeyed first. I told them this with the example of, I may be telling you to get out of the street. You look at me and say, why? Because I see a car coming. I got hit by a car on my big wheel when I was 5 years old. My mom probably still has nightmares about that. But she would have told me to get out of the road if she would have seen me there. And I would have probably been that kid that'd be like, why? It's okay to ask God why. Guess what? Did you know that? It is okay to ask him because he wants it for our own good. Verse 30 of Acts 27 says, then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from in front of the ship. Paul said to the commanding officers, notice Paul's got their attention at this point. Paul's speaking, they're listening. Again, you need to be surrounding yourself with people that when they're speaking into your life, yeah, I'm listening. I know that God is using them to speak to me. Paul said to the commanding officers, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard. So the soldiers cut the life ropes, let the lifeboat drift away. Passage I read earlier, Psalm 91, I like verse 15 as I think about this storm that they're going through, is this imminent shipwreck that they're facing. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. A lot of times we want the trouble to go away. God, just take it away. God, just get that problem out of my life. Sometimes God's saying, what you're going through, you need to learn something through. But I'll be with you. I'll carry you through it. I will be your refuge as you go through this. You know how we're all wired? We want black and white, cut and dry. Here's the answer. Let's go do it. It's not that way with a walk with God. God wants to keep us constantly recognizing our awareness of our total dependence on him. Did you know that? He wants us to recognize, I need you every hour, every moment, every breath. But we want to have it all figured out. Doesn't work that way. Here we see that Paul's saying, it's going to be okay, guys. Just as the day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. You've been so worried you haven't touched food for 2 weeks. Eat something now for your own good, for not a hair on your heads will perish. You know what? That's something that we're not real good at when we're going through a storm is we quit taking care of ourselves. We neglect some of the basic things in life because we're overwhelmed. This is a good reminder and a good principle here that we need to remember. Don't neglect everything. Don't get so overwhelmed that you just throw everything out. Stay in that crisis management mode forever. So here they took some bread. They gave thanks to God before they broke the peace. Everyone was encouraged and began to eat. All 276 of us who were on board, after eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. Important principle there. We have a tendency to hold on to things also in a storm. I've got to have this. I need this. I've noticed something in my life. When I put absolutes out before God, I will not do that, God. I will not go there. I will not give this up. That's exactly where he's going to come at me and say, yeah, you just keep trying to hold on to that. He knows what's best for us. He has our best interest at heart. He knows it's for our own good. They finally said, let go of the wheat. Let go of the cargo. Because you know what? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Matthew 29 is a great passage. It goes with this. It says, what price of 2 sparrows, 1 copper coin? Not even a single sparrow can fall to the ground without the Father knowing it. Very hairs on your head were numbered. Paul knew the words of Christ by this point. He knew God had everything in control. The passage ends here. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners and make sure they didn't swim ashore alone and escape. But the commanding officer said, no, we've got to spare Paul. Wow, look at that favor. Look at that unprecedented favor. So he didn't let them carry out the plan. He ordered all who could swim, jump overboard, make for land. The others held onto planks and debris from the broken ship. So even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the shipwrecked, everyone escaped safely to shore. They didn't have all of what they had when they started. They didn't get to hold on to everything that they wanted, but they made it. Sometimes I think our perspective gets off in the storm on what really is important. Principle I want you to pull away from that is we often neglect to care for ourselves in a storm. Our priorities change when we go through hardships, when we go through storms. Maybe you're here today and you're wondering even why you came. Maybe you didn't want to come. Maybe your wife dragged you, your husband dragged you. Maybe your kids dragged you. If that's happening, I'm doing my job. Because I am working really hard at telling your kids church is where you need to be as often as you can be here. I love it when I hear parents say, we plan to go to vacation, and my kids told me they couldn't miss blankety blankety blank, whatever. Thank you. I'm going, good. God is with you in the storm. He's carrying you in the storm. I want you to close your eyes as we close. I want to read this little excerpt from Jesus Calling. Sarah Young's a great author, and I really like this. I felt like it was very appropriate. We're going to have a time of prayer, so I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. Worship team's going to play as soon as I finish reading this. But my challenge for you is to commit today to live in the shelter of the Most High. Make that commitment. Regardless of what you are going through in life, I am going to live in God's presence no matter what I do. Let me read this excerpt from you and just let it be a prayer that'll minister to you. Expect to encounter adversity in your life, remembering that you live in a deeply fallen world. Stop trying to find a way that circumvents difficulties. The main problem with an easy life is that it masks your need for me. When you became a Christian, I infused my very life into you, empowering you to live on a supernatural plane by depending on me. Anticipate coming face to face with impossibilities, situations totally beyond your ability to handle. This awareness of your inadequacy is not something you should try to evade. It is precisely where I want you. The best place to encounter me in my glory and my power. When you see armies of problems marching towards you, cry out to me. Allow me to fight for you. Watch me work on your behalf. And as you rest in the shadow of my almighty presence. As the prayer team comes, I asked the worship team if they would just play that song again, the beautiful name of Jesus. What you need more than anything right now is to refocus on Jesus. As they sing this song, you come down, one of us will meet you here in prayer, and we will pray with you about what storm you're going through.